The Extremely Local News is sponsored by Great Lakes Credit Union, committed to financially empowering local communities. From Block Club Chicago, let's check in with John Hansen. John, good morning. We were talking about this last week, but you have an update now. Ronnie Woo Woo Vickers, how's he doing?
He says each day is getting a little bit better, but I don't know if it's ironic or it's just, obviously it's sad. He has lung disease, right? The man known for his lungs and his woo-woos at over 3,000 Cubs games over the years. And Bob, as of course you know, and I'm sure any Cubs fan who has walked around Wrigley Field, I can't imagine any Cubs fan who's been to at least a couple games has not seen Ronnie walking around the ballpark, either outside or inside. And Mac Lederman's going to have an update that we're going to be dropping here in a little bit at Block Club Chicago. But yeah, the man with the iron lungs does have lung disease after nearly 70 years of shouting Cubs woo, Cubs woo. And the staff at the hospital has been really great. He's staying at a facility, and the caregivers have actually replaced the hotel art in his room with a canvas painting of Wrigley Field to try and give it a little bit of a touch there. Still wearing the full team uniform and hoping to get to games this summer. He's had Ben Zobrist reach out. Daryl Strawberry called him a bit ago, too, to wish him well. It's not a reversible disease, unfortunately, but he does say that he's getting better with some physical therapy. He says he can woo for about 15 or 20 minutes, which, Bob, that still sounds incredibly good to me. Hopefully he can maybe do it in shorter stints as someone who is obviously well-known to Cubs fans around the area.
Yeah, I mentioned this last week. I mean, you might think that a grown man walking around in full Cubs uniform all the time, yelling woo-woo, would be a little off. But anybody who's ever talked to him realizes what a nice man he is, and our best wishes for a speedy recovery.
For sure.
This is a nice story about a photographer in Bucktown. Fill us in here, John.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys talked about it a couple weeks ago when we wrote the initial story about this Bucktown photographer, Ray Reese. He was 24 years old back in 1979, and he was doing a project at Columbia College, and he photographed kids in the Bucktown neighborhood for this class project. And he had a flood in his basement, and only about 19 of the photos survived, these gorgeous black and white photos. And he wanted to find out where these kids are now. He never knew or kept up with where they were. He didn't record the subjects' names. And he has a display at the Bucktown Wicker Park Library going up. It's called Who Are They Now? And we published the article in the beginning of April, and we've found some of them. They've come forward, seeing themselves in these photos. And I just think it's so special. And they've reconnected about 10 or so of the kids now. 10 of the 52 have come forward. And they're just able to, first of all, some of these kids look exactly the same as they did. You'll have to see the photos at blockclubchicago.org to the story. But I just reminded Bob, I have my kid's like 6 weeks old and I've got 10,000 photos of him already. That wasn't the case, right? Back in the 70s and 80s, you didn't have many photos of you with your friends on the street playing. So for some of the people that recognize themselves in these photos and now have reconnected with a photographer, gotten a copy of the photos, it means a lot to them, right? It's something special for them. Memories that they have now that they maybe had lost to history. And luckily have been saved.
Yeah, we take thousands of photos now because we can.
Right.
It's debatable whether you go back and look at any of them.
Fair point.
A small percentage anyway. Mm-hmm. The city on the south side is suing a junkyard property owner. What's this all about?
Oh, boy. This story of this Englewood junkyard goes back a couple weeks. Block Club Chicago's Atavia Reed, the first to report. A lot of other publications have picked up on it, thankfully. But there were these two lots on the south side that had been kind of overgrown and stuffed with cars and boats and RVs just sitting there. I mean, right in the middle of a neighborhood next to bungalows and three flats for 10 years. One of the properties owned by the city of Chicago, allowing this junkyard to apparently operate, even though people have been complaining. The other was owned by, it was a complicated issue, right? It was one of these properties that had been bought and sold and bought and sold, and anyone that had owned it in the past said they didn't own it anymore. Well, after the story came out, the city finally got to action. They are suing the last known owner of the vacant lot that has allowed this to operate as an unlicensed junkyard for a decade. They're also suing the man who has actually lived on the property in an RV. That's an interesting angle to the story because he is a Southside mechanic. And he has operated, essentially, he says, his name is Jerry Bell. And this junkyard, he says, is operated as his kind of mechanics shop. He said he had the blessing of the last known owner. He's lived there. He's fixed up cars for folks in the neighborhood. Well, the city's suing him now. So Atavia Reed chatted with him about what's next for him. Obviously, you don't want illegal junkyards operating in your neighborhood right next to you. The city, though, springing to action. It's curious to see why it took them 9 years to spring into action, considering they owned one of the lots where this was operating. Atavia is still digging into that. But that's the latest update, that they are suing the latest owners, trying to figure out how this happened, and also trying to clean up the spot so that neighbors don't have to walk around and see this garbage that they've been complaining about for 10 years happening in the lots next door.
Yeah, that would be good. And finally, why are people so fascinated with this bird story at Montrose Beach?
I know, the piping plovers. Everyone gets so excited about it. I think it's kind of cool. I did a podcast for Block Club Chicago last year about why that same thing, right? Why we care so much. But Imani, the son of Monty and Rose, who were the original two that captured the attention when they returned to the beach, the piping plover Imani is back. Bob, I think it's because it's fascinating. These birds fly to the Gulf Coast, they fly to the Carolina region, and they used to call the Chicagoland area home for centuries. And in the 40s, it stopped happening because of all the development of the buildings. And I think it's a celebration of the efforts that have been made along Chicago's lakefront to provide some more natural habitats amongst the tall buildings. The Chicago River's got a cleanup. I just think it's a success story that gives hope that some of these things, these environmental issues that seem irreversible, maybe aren't so. And I think that's why people celebrate Imani and the other piping plovers every spring when they come back.
Well, you know what? We need good news wherever we can get it, don't we?
For sure.
John Hansen. Thanks, John. Talk to you later.
Talk soon, Bob.